indicators of assurance, how we can rest assured, how we can know that we are a Christian and we do have a firm foundation. We do have a rock that we can trust in, and that is Jesus Christ. And I just thank so much for the lessons that we've had already on this topic. It is important that we know we are saved. That is something that's foundational. If we're ever going to have any type of success in our life whatsoever, especially if we believe we are a Christian, if we don't have assurance of our salvation, we're never going to get anywhere. We're always going to be worried and concerned. And I'm so thankful that God wants us to know and that we can have assurance of salvation. And let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read a fairly decent passage this evening as we look at this idea. Brother Chris has just recently taught on the sources of our assurance, the sources, and we use the analogy of the accelerator pedal. That's the source that gets the car going. I like that. I remember when I was teaching my girls when they're first to drive, you know, we got oriented in the car. We showed them what was going on. It's like this pedal here. I was like, what are these things? This one over here on the right, that is the accelerator. That's the source. That's what gets things going. Now we have an indicator, which is the speedometer. That's that one on the dash. It has the little numbers on it, things like that. It has the MPH, miles per hour. That's the one. That is the indicators. And we're going to be looking at the indicators tonight. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But hopefully you've got your Bibles out there. Hopefully you're ready. You're ready to pay attention. You're ready to study. And let's look at Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And so as we read that fairly lengthy passage, we come to verse 16, and I just continued that thought as we get to the period. But really that first section of that thought in verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that's the indicator that we're going to be looking at tonight, the Holy Spirit of God's witness in our life as believers. And as we talked about the accelerator, which is the source, and we talked about the indicators, which we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks, as the speedometer, the thing that we need to remember is that as we're wanting to have assurance in our life of our salvation, we don't go to the indicators. That's not the place where we're going to find that assurance in our salvation. We need to go to the source. We need to place our thoughts and our hearts and our minds and our confidence in the source. And what are those sources of assurance? They are this. It's the character of God, and the gospel. And assurance is only possible because of who God is. It's because of His nature. It's because He's faithful. He's merciful. He's unchanging. God, if He wasn't those things, there is no way we could have salvation. But because of His mercy, because of His grace, because of His faithfulness, and because of His unchanging nature, it's possible and we are able to have salvation. And we can have confidence in our hearts that we have received His salvation. God isn't fickle. He's not going to change His mind. If He wants to give us the gift of salvation, He's not going to change that. His nature and His thoughts on that are never going to change. And secondly, our assurance is also possible because the good news of Jesus is true. Though creation is fallen and man is sinful, Jesus Christ became God in the flesh, and He died for our sin to take our place. And He was buried, He rose again the third day, so that we can also rise when He comes again for us, and we can have confidence in the gospel, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what that enables, that allows us to have salvation in our life. And those two things are what we place our assurance in. Those are sources. That's the source. That is the core of what our confidence can be in. And that's the most important thing, and that's why we started there with the sources. You've got to start with the source. You can't just start looking at the indicators, and that's where a lot of people get tripped up, is when we start looking just only at the indicators of salvation, and we're concerned and worry about those. You know, assurance is ours by knowing who God is and what He has done. And that's what we've always got to go back to. It's not based on our feelings, it's not based on our thoughts, but it's based on the nature of God and what He has done. And so, you know, then we can have that great confidence in our salvation, but it's also good to look at the indicators. You know, as we talk about this, we shouldn't put aside the thought of the importance of indicators. There should be indicators in our life that we are saved. If there is a complete absence of any indicators, that is indicative of some sort of issue going on there. It is possible you may not be saved. But if you're saying, you know, I know I'm confident in what God has done, I'm confident that I place my faith and trust in the gospel, but I have no indicators, then that's a barometer. That just doesn't even sound right when you say it. And so something is wrong spiritually in your life. There's something going on. And so we need to look at these indicators, and it helps even further our confidence when we have the assurance in the source of our salvation. But then we also see the indicators of that. That's a great blessing, and we can have the assurance that God desires us. He wants us to know that we're saved. And one of the important indicators is the witness of God through the Holy Spirit in our life. And let's look back at verse 13, because that's kind of where we're going to begin the thought and complete it in verse 16. It says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, as we start talking about this idea of the work of the Spirit, you know, we start to move into the intangible. You know, we can see our flesh, we can see the things around us, but the spirit realm and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, when the Holy Spirit indwells us once we're saved, you don't see that. There's no, you know, if you're looking for some sort of external evidence of the Holy Spirit indwelling you in some sort of thing that you can measure or sense, or, you know, you can measure it with a tape measure or weigh it or any kind of thing like that, that's not anything that we're going to see. And it makes it difficult to describe certainly the working of the Spirit in our life. It's something we can't diagram. We can't take it apart. We can't show it to you. But the Spirit does 100%. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know that the Holy Spirit indwells you. You know the Holy Spirit works in your life to show you and tell you that you belong to God. And so while it may be a little bit challenging, we're just going to fasten our seatbelts and we can look at some of these things that the Holy Spirit does in our life that gives us indications and are indicators in our life that the Holy Spirit indwells us as a believer. And we're going to look at three. I'm going to give you kind of a preview of those just so you can kind of know where we're headed. But first of all, the Spirit regenerates. Secondly, the Spirit indwells us as a believer. And third, the Spirit teaches us. And so we're going to look at those things. But the first one we're going to look at is the idea that the Holy Spirit of God regenerates us as a believer. And the Holy Spirit is the one that regenerated you. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that being born again is the only way that someone can enter into the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3 and verse 3 it says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so as we think about this regeneration that takes place, it's a spiritual transformation of a person that is brought about by the Holy Spirit that changes them from someone who is spiritually dead to someone who is spiritually alive. The verse that just springs into my mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does that work in our life to make us a new creature. And so as we look at this idea of what does it mean to be a new creature? What does it mean to be regenerated? Well, one of the evidences of regeneration in our life is our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, I'm going to turn over there for you real fast. And if you're at home, you can go ahead and turn there as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So it's the Holy Ghost that tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we think about this idea of our faith, we've got to remember it's not our approach to Christ that saves you. It's not how you approach Him. It's not the prayer that you prayed. It is Jesus Christ Himself that saves you. It is His work in your life that is what is you can place your assurance, and that is the source. Secondly, the repentance is evidence of our regeneration as well. You know, and as we think about this idea of repentance, now that you've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, what is your attitude towards sin? How do you feel about your sin? If you can remember, prior to salvation, was sin ever an issue at all? No, sin wasn't ever something that, you know, you talk to someone that's lost, they're not worried about their sin. They're like, hey man, how can we have as much fun as possible? Let's go live it up and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. That's the world's attitude. They're not worried, but should I do this? You know, what does God think about me going to this party tomorrow night? That never crosses anybody's mind whatsoever. But now that you're saved, do you cherish God and do you hate your sin? That's an indicator. Repentance, an attitude of hating your former life, to hating the sin, hating the things that God hates and loving the things that God loves, that is an evidence. Now, as we talk about this, the thing we've also got to remember, we're kind of transitioning as we talk about indicators from the attitude of I know. Like, I know God is true. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from our sins. I know if I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I'm saved. Those are things that we can know. But how saved do you feel? How much, you know, as we talk about indicators, it is more of an intangible. It is a little bit more of a feeling that we have. And we understand that feelings wax and wane. I remember Brother Gray would sometimes ask, you know, does anybody feel saved tonight? You know, he'd ask kind of that idea, do you feel saved? And sometimes the reality is sometimes you feel saved and sometimes you don't feel so saved. And when you feel saved, man, that's a wonderful indicator, but that's not what we're placing our confidence in. That's not a source. That is an indicator. And so as we look at these indicators, they are going to be much more subjective. And as we go back to this idea of the Holy Spirit regenerating, regeneration is also closely connected to our reconciliation. And what do we mean by that? It's that we want our hearts, our lives to be reconciled or be made right to God. If you're caring about your relationship with God, that's a great indicator. You know, people are like, man, I'm just wondering if I'm saved. I'm worried about the fact that I'm saved. Lost people don't worry about whether they're saved in their relationship with God on balance. And the very fact that you're concerned about having assurance of your salvation may very well be a great indicator in your life because you are a Christian, because the Holy Spirit of God indwells you and you are regenerated, that you're concerned about that. The second thing that we're going to look at tonight is that the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell people that were saved all the time. The Holy Spirit would come upon a person to empower them and enable them to carry out a certain ministry or for a time of service. But Jesus Christ promised after his ascension that he would give the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I've even preached about that in the book of Acts as I've been preaching through that as I get opportunity. And that is a wonderful promise that Jesus Christ gave us, that we would have the Comforter. The Comforter would come and give us that indwelling that is available to every single one of us as believers. And in John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And this indwelling involves all believers. I had you turn over to the 1 Corinthians, but back in our text in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, you may have missed it as we read it through it the first time, but it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So if you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you're not one of God's children. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you as a believer. And so what does that mean? The Holy Spirit is taking residence in your life. And how do you know that the Holy Spirit has taken residence in your life? Just like we said, it's intangible. But one of the great things that the Holy Spirit does when he indwells us as believers is it is our down payment. It's our earnest of the inheritance that we are going to have heaven as our home one day. And in Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now, that down payment that comes in our life, and that is that promise of our home in heaven, has some tangible effects in this life. And the Holy Spirit indwelling us as our believer, one of the things it does, it helps us love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, if you have love for the brethren, that is evidence that the Holy Spirit of God indwells you as a believer. And it's even with all kinds of backgrounds, all different people from all different nationalities, even if we have nothing else absolutely in common, when we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us as brothers and sisters in Christ, man, that is a great foundation that you can build a friendship on, that you can have love for one another. And you even think about the first century church. You know, those people, there are Grecians, there are Parthians, there are people from all over the known world that all came together. Some spoke Greek. Some people spoke Hebrew. There's all different ethnic backgrounds. Many of them were Jews. Some were proselytes. There's a lot of different people. But they all came together, were in one accord. How is that possible? It's through the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them as believers. And in second, as we think about Acts, again, in Acts chapter 2, as they preached the gospel, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled them on the day of Pentecost, man, the gospel went forth. And they were preaching, yes, they were preaching in people's native tongue, but those apostles who had just recently fled Jesus Christ, who had just recently said, "I go a fishing," now were boldly preaching the gospel. They were sharing the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will motivate us to share the gospel. Even if sometimes we can be apprehensive, and I know it is difficult, and I know it can be very challenging, but through the Holy Spirit of God, He can help us share the gospel. And sometimes He can help us have the right words to say and understand this is what we should say in that particular circumstance. And sometimes we know what to say, but sometimes we push the Holy Spirit down. It's like, man, I know I should say this right now, but no, I'm going to be too embarrassed. Or I can't do that. But that Holy Spirit working in us is what helps us to share the gospel. The indwelling Spirit also leads us to confess sin and to pursue holiness. You know, that the work of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things in our life should be manifest in our life, and those are evidence of the Holy Spirit of God working in us. But the most direct application is in verse 16. It says, "When the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And so what does that mean there? It means that the Spirit directly communicates to us that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit of God can do that. He can show us and confirm in our heart that we are God's children. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we fail God many times, the Holy Spirit of God can give us that confidence. And that's not witnessing that other people are saved. I don't know if anybody else is saved. Now, sometimes you can see the evidence in their life and other things like that. But the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit, it's the Holy Spirit of God telling us that you are my child, that you are a child of God. And the Holy Spirit indwelling us as a believer allows us to have that type of confidence. And then third, the Holy Spirit also teaches. You know, as the Holy Spirit ministers as a teacher to the Christian, not that He's going to give us new revelation. Like the Holy Spirit of God just told me that I need to go out and buy a new jet. Or I need to go give, it's not that type of new revelation. The Holy Spirit of God isn't going to do that. But no, He is going to teach us revelation that has already been given in God's Word. The Holy Spirit is going to bear witness of what God's Word says, and He is going to teach His Word to us. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And then skip down to verse 27, it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Now, as we look at this context, John is telling these Christians that they don't need false teaching, and they don't need this instruction that the false teachers are giving them, but because these false teachers were giving them this so-called new revelation from God, and were trying to twist and change what God had already said. No, we don't need any new revelation from any false teachers. And when people are giving us new revelation that runs contrary to the Word of God, we can know with a surety that those people are not from God. But that's not what John is telling them. And he's not telling them that you don't need anybody to teach you, because then this whole thing would be pointless right now, right? But then it would be pointless for even John to write the letter to them. But that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying is that the Holy Spirit of God will help to teach us as we are being taught through the reading of God's Word and through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. So how does this work? Is it totally the work of the Spirit and not completely without human teachers? No, we need human teachers to teach us and instruct. And study is vitally important. And I hope in this time when we supposedly have a lot more free time on our hands, that we've taken these opportunities to spend more time studying and reading God's Word. And even as Brother Abels is just starting through 1 Corinthians and encourage us to read through 1 Corinthians, we should be looking and preparing and even doing our own study, so we're even that much more ready for the preaching of God's Word. But the way this works, it's not an either or. It's not all the teacher, and it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's a both and. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through the teaching, and God uses men and women to teach His Word. And as we are learning something in a sermon, through an article, in a book, or even in a conversation, was it the Holy Spirit of God that was working and teaching, or was it the actual material that was teaching you? It was both. It's both of those things that are the one that is teaching and instructing. And I've even had conversations with people sometimes that sometimes gives me pause. It's like, have you ever gone to a message or had a Sunday school lesson, or you've been in a revival service or something, and it's like, man, God just taught me something tonight. Man, I just learned something. Maybe it was presented in a way that I just hadn't seen that before, and you're just fired up about it, and God's just done a work in your life. And like, everybody feels that way. And then you're talking to this one person, and you're like, wasn't that awesome? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it was fine, I guess. That is concerning. That is not an indicator. That's the opposite example of an indicator. But when we have those types of feelings and we are excited about that, about us loving the teaching of the Bible explained, when we love understanding, have you ever just had a passage of Scripture as it's being taught or as it's being exposed through Bible preaching, and it's like, that's what that means. Well, I thought it meant blah, blah, blah. I was totally wrong. But now that it's been explained and taught in the right way, just how exciting that is and how much more it makes sense and how it so much better lines up with all of the theology that we know from the Bible, what a blessing and encouragement is, that's the Holy Spirit of God working. And sometimes we can get excited about it and are thrilled about it, even when it convicts us and shows us that there's something wrong that we need to address. We should be excited and fired up about that as well. And all those things are the ways that the Holy Spirit of God witnesses to us of our salvation by teaching us. So as we summarize and as we look at these ideas, you know, as we pursue greater assurance, we should take comfort in all that the Holy Spirit of God does for us as He has regenerated us, as He indwells us as a believer. And we have that confidence that the Holy Spirit of God is working in my life and making me more like Jesus Christ. And I'm manifesting the fruit of the Spirit that doesn't come in my flesh, but comes through that love and joy and peace. It doesn't come from me naturally, but that's the Holy Spirit of God as I'm allowing Him to work in my life. And my desire for the Word of God as the Holy Spirit of God teaches me, as we experience these ongoing works of the Spirit, it helps encourage us and it helps us to grow in our confidence of our salvation. It isn't the source, but it is a great comfort and is it a great assurance and is it a great indicator of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Pastor.